Welcome back to Dateline New Haven on WNHH, your home for community radio at 103.5 FM. This is Paul Bash, your host, looking behind the headlines on the stories that make New Haven tick. And we have a man of the hour right here in the studio, Oz Greville, who is the third party candidate for governor. A third party actually makes you
independent.
Your first party.
Well, the first, that's a good, I like it.
You're the independent candidate, maybe in the mold, we say, of Ross Perot or no?
No, I wouldn't use Ross Perot. Okay. Say, yeah.
He's the only ticket that's going to have a Democrat and a Republican at the top of the ticket. Oz is a Republican from the Metro Hartford area. He's running with Monty Frank, a Democrat from Newtown. We had them in the studio before telling us while they're running, had a great conversation about where the middle lies in Connecticut politics. But the reason Oz isn't today is you got a convention tonight.
We have a convention tonight, and I just say, Paul, just for your listeners, that Monty is a former Democrat, re-registered as an unaffiliated voter, and I'm
a
former Republican, re-registered as an unaffiliated voter, and we are in the radical middle.
Well, David Brooks this morning in the New York Times says the real new party is the Whig Party. But he says there are only 24 members. Was he counting you two?
No, he wasn't.
But he says the real number is the biggest party in America. People just don't realize that people believe in limited government to create opportunity.
Correct.
Rather than big government as a solution to problems or government as a source of problems that you don't want to invest in.
Right. At the same time, government has a very important role to play for all of us and how we use our collective intellect, our collective capital to make sure that we've got a state, a country that is going to reward people for their opportunity and their innovation.
Well, Oz, as you know, last weekend, your former Republican colleagues were having a big convention at Foxwoods, although I don't know if they really pulled the right levers and came up with the right lemons, but they chose their candidates for state office. It's a big year because most of the state offices are open except for Secretary of the State,
you know,
in terms of incumbents not running again.
Right.
And the Democrats are convening this weekend. But you're holding a convention tonight. Where and what's going to happen?
So thank you for the opportunity. It's in Infinity Hall in Hartford. It'll run from 5:30 to 8:30. And we have several objectives, Paul. First and foremost, to demonstrate not only on the calendar, but more importantly with our principles, that we are in the radical middle to build a big tent to bring parties from people from both parties into that tent to focus on what's good for the state of Connecticut, what's good for the common good. We have a couple of people coming from two national organizations, one called Independent Voting and one called SAM, the Serve America Movement, to talk about other independent efforts going on around the country. We have several people talking about why they're involved with us, why they're supporting us. Obviously, Monty will talk about his background and why he's running, and I'll do the same thing. Gives us great opportunity, too, for a number of our volunteers who've been acting kind of on their own out in the hustings soliciting signatures, which is what we're still focused on.
To get on the ballot.
To get on the ballot and have those folks come together. So it's a combination of networking, information, and the idea that people leave there more energized and enthused to support the campaign in multiple ways.
Sounds fun. What makes it a convention? Are you going to have a ritual where you say, I put Oz and Monty a nomination?
Yes.
And it could be like the Harlem Globetrotters where you have like the Washington Generals nomination so you could beat them for the nomination.
Well, we've counted the votes, Paul. We're quite confident
that we
know who's... yes, we have been in that smoke-filled back room for a while. We're very confident we'll come out with the votes.
But in all seriousness, will there be a ritual? Will someone say, nominate Oz Greible?
Correct.
The name of the line going to be? We used to have the A Connecticut... And actually, the better parallel is Weicker here. We had the A Connecticut Party with Lowell Weicker and Eunice Gruark. In 1990, that won that election as a third party. I'm sorry, as a first party.
Correct.
Democrat Republican. Do you have a party name?
No, we're not a party. I think it's a great comment, Paul, that just to be sure that the listeners know, Monty and I are running as an independent ticket, not as a party. There is, when you go on the ballot in November, there'll obviously be a Republican slate, a Democratic slate. Our party line will say Greible Frank 4CT. And then our two names. And, you know, while you mentioned Lowell Weicker and Eunice Gruark, those of you who knew Eunice, her passing here this recently is one of the great ladies
she
in the state, one
week,
of the great,
right?
Yes, and one of the great leaders in the state of Connecticut. Truly a person that those of us who knew her were definitely beneficiaries of her wisdom and her humor.
So Eunice Gruark traveled in the same circles you did, which is sort of the Hartford business civic leadership role, which used to have a lot more clout in how Hartford and to some extent the state ran when we had a stronger insurance industry, and you sort of had a sense of civic obligation from private elites. Do we still have that?
I think, you know, one of the things I think a governor has to do in this age, and some of this, I think we have really a combination of the private sector sort of backing away and also a number of laws that have been passed and regulations. You don't have that same engagement. I think the only way you get that engagement is through a governor. And I've said all along that the governor has to be the chief marketing officer for the state. And that means a lot of things. But it means, first and foremost, if you believe in the adage that your next best customer is your current customer, is spending a lot of time with the employers who are here, getting them engaged in the process, not just financially, but really tapping into the intellectual capital that's in that private sector, whether that's in business, hospitals, higher education, the not-for-profit world. That is Connecticut's greatest strength. But it has to be mobilized.
Would it be fair to say you're in the Weicker-Rourke mold?
It's really difficult.
You don't want to be tagged with putting it
obviously, Governor Weicker had pros and cons about what he did. And clearly, I wouldn't want to compare myself to him, given the fact that he had run successfully four times for the U.S. Senate. So name recognition is a very different thing. But the idea of coming at the challenges, the issues, and the assets from an independent viewpoint, yes, I would absolutely put us in that category.
Are you going to put an ad saying... it's like pouring gasoline on a fire if we have a new tax and then passing the tax.
I won't run an ad like that unless Chris Cooper allows me. That's not what I'm planning on doing.
Oz Grebel, what did you think about the Republican convention last week? Any observations?
No, I mean, selfishly from our standpoint, primaries are helpful to us. So we're delighted that there'll be a multi-candidate party. Ideally, that'll happen the Democratic side as well, because what that allows is to remain, let the two parties stay focused on themselves. And what that allows us to do is reemphasize that the parties are primarily focused on the parties, not on what's good for Connecticut. And we'll continue to have that middle, that wide open middle from now until mid-August. That we've been building on since December, and we'll continue to focus on that.
Do you agree with the David Brooks column this morning about the resurgence of a Whig party, you know, without the terms, that sort of centrist view of government? Do you put yourself in that camp?
I do, and when I mentioned a minute ago, Paul, we have a couple of folks from national organizations. I think there's a growing sentiment in the country that having a party that is focused on what's good for the common good is, and put that as priorities as opposed to who's in charge, I think is very much part of where the
but you're not forming
headed.
A party. You're more like
we're not forming
Lieberman.
A party. Correct. That's absolutely.
And I mean, because
right.
You know, Brooks was involved in No Labels, which was the effort by Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York, to create this kind of party. And you often find that there's not the same motivations for people to have a structure. That when you have people mainly who are upset with parties, they come together and fight with each other so much. You had that with the Reform Party as well as Perot. It got almost kind of comical the way they had the infighting. Weicker told me when he was the governor that he felt it wasn't really about being a party. He, even though they called it a Connecticut party and it didn't last, he felt it was having that independent ability to maneuver in power between the other two parties.
I think that's absolutely spot on. And while as I said a second ago, we're interested in what's going on around the rest of the country, it is bringing that independent view. So when people ask us, how are you possibly going to govern when you don't have a party structure, the point I make is I think we have a huge advantage when we're elected, because that the fact that we're elected sends a strong message to both parties that the electorate doesn't want the same old, same old. So I think it gives us a tremendous advantage.
Whether or not you agree with Weicker on the specifics, he did not only pass an income tax, he passed pretty dramatic welfare reform with a Democratic, Audrey Rowe, Democratic head of welfare and social services. He did investments, as we were talking earlier, into pensions, kind of long-term financial changes that did bear fruit until they were undone. So the guy definitely governed.
Oh, there's no question about that. And you know, Eunice, who decided when Lowell decided not to run for re-election, I thought did a great job of defending what they did and not sort of backing away from it.
She also gave us John Rowland or not? I mean, she got, 19% of that vote in a four-way race where Tom Scott, Bill Curry, Eunice.
It was an interesting race, yes.
Well, and John Rowland, I believe John Rowland ran with 37% of the vote.
Well under 40. I don't remember what the exact number was.
And if one argues rightly or wrongly that Rourke's votes were Curry votes, maybe they weren't. Do you think you could be the same kind of spoiler this year, Oz, that if your campaign takes off and you get in the double digits as an unaffiliated candidate, and you can win with a plurality in it, do you have the potential of being a spoiler for your worst nightmare?
You know, my view is that the two parties are spoiling our opportunity to get 70% of the vote. And that's our perspective.
All right. And the perspective you're hearing is from Oz Grebel, who's running as an independent candidate for governor this year in the wide open election year. We've had about 20 people, I think, throwing their hats in the rings. I don't think we're exaggerating about that.
No, that's no
And
no,
Oz is here on Dateline New Haven and WNHH-FM, your home for community radio at 103.5 FM. And he's here today because tonight, Tuesday night, at Infinity Hall in Hartford, 5:30 to 8:30 will be, what do we call them, the convention?
No Parties, No Politics, Just Solutions Convention.
The no, that's a long name for a convention. No Parties, No Politics, Just Solutions Convention. Are you going to have any music?
Oh, absolutely. We've got a band, Sugar Free, coming up from Stonington. So we're delighted.
Kind of music,
food, beverage. You're welcome to come, Paul. Come and see us. We'd love to have you.
It sounds really fun.
It's going to be fun. No question about it.
What's going to be the theme preview of the dress you're going to give?
In some ways, Paul, not a lot different than what I've talked to you about before and what we've talked earlier on. The idea that our principles are based on the bone-deep respect for every individual, the need to build a big tent so that both party and all people who care about the state of Connecticut come in and work on it. We'll talk about the need to reignite private sector confidence. We'll talk about transportation investment. We'll talk about urban revitalization. Those things are all part of it. But one of the things we want to emphasize is the need for a change in attitude. Which does get back to your comment about David Brooks and others, that we are looking to build a collaborative effort that brings the best and the brightest to the table, not only from the elected side, but from our private sector side, as I said earlier. That is where so much intellectual capital lies and where there's so much commitment to the state of Connecticut we have to tap into.
Matthew Barry writes in, he's liking the show. Thank you, Matthew. Eric Bastiani writes in, hello, Oz, great to see you. That's right, people above politics. Oz, we've talked past what specific ideas that an Oz Griebel administration would carry
right.
out from the Democrats and Republicans. One idea that sticks out in my mind from our last interview that I haven't heard elsewhere was that you would privatize the ownership of state government office buildings, then have leaseback arrangements
right.
in order to produce, you know, let's say the FOI Commission, Attorney General's office.
Right.
Those are private buildings. You make that a private owner, but they'd have a long term lease with the state.
Correct.
So we'd pay the same amount for those buildings, but they'd go on the tax rolls.
Right.
And Hartford would get money for its problems.
Right.
Any other ideas? Very specific. It doesn't have to be your main idea.
Sure. No, those.
You've
I, let me
a good
build,
job here with the overall themes, but that's with some policies. That
well, let me build
place,
off of that because I think, Paul, that's an important one. I believe that the decision to, quote, bail out, close quote, Hartford is the wrong thing to do. And I had set out a set of proposals, as you alluded to one of them, that I believe Hartford
can. That was interesting. That one I haven't heard elsewhere.
The idea of the sale-leaseback arrangement on property, I think you've got to look at consolidating. There are two IT departments in Hartford for the Board of Education in the system. Why does trash service have to be a city service as opposed to privatized? There are a number of things that I think we've got to look at in the urban revitalization. And just to build.
Was it John, what was his name, who was the mayor of Milwaukee, the Republican mayor, he didn't necessarily privatize trash service. He had the Public Works Department bid on the job, and they actually outbid the private companies, but they had to find ways to be more efficient.
Right. I haven't heard about that, but that's another way to look at it. I think the point I'm making to you, Paul, and to the listeners is we cannot just nibble around the edges on a number of the things. We just can't say, oh, let's try this over here to tweak it a little bit. That's why I think this bailout sends the wrong signal across the board. On broader issues, things like contributing the state teachers to the state lottery to the state teachers retirement fund.
That's funny. We just heard that from Arunin.
I think it's an important one to look at.
Too.
And
so dedicate revenues from the lottery. But are you just moving money around?
Well,
you
no, stay with me a second, because
okay.
that's not the whole idea. The idea that a comparable idea is securitizing all state-owned assets all assets that the state owns, except public parks and true public buildings like the Capitol, and contributing that proceeds to the state employee retirement fund. But we need to get in exchange for that some flexibility, greater flexibility in work rules, so that, for example, you could privatize certain services like DMV, like DECD, that would be done more efficiently, in our view, by the private sector. It's those kinds of things that we have to look at.
So you would privatize DMV and DECD?
I would look hard at how we could do that, absolutely. The state needs to have control over rules and regulations. But in this day and age, I think entities like AAA and others are going to invest in technology much
AAA
more quickly.
AAA stopped here doing the DMV.
Because of the fight down and that went on, I know. But I think you've got to
Why
get back at that.
Why, after all these gubernatorial administrations,
right.
does it still take up to a day to get your license renewed?
It doesn't make any sense.
But it doesn't happen in Old Saybrook. What's the reason?
I don't know the reason. to that particular question.
This has been studied by great minds. The school of management, Yale was with Malloy. I mean, people really looked at this thing, and they had all ideas about kiosks and stuff you could do online.
I think there's a lot of stuff you can do online.
It still makes you nuts.
Well, because I think that part of the issue we have to get at here, Paul, is I really am concerned about the long-term viability of our ability to fund the pension system. So when you look at where we've been in the last 20 years, and if you just project where we are in the next 20 with no net job growth in the state, you have to be concerned as a pensioner whether the money is going to be there 20 years from now.
So one of the things, 54% funded in the teachers now, we have what Ed Runin was calling a $6 billion balloon payment in 2032.
So one of the things I'd want to do is let's by contributing the lottery, by contributing the proceeds from securitization into those funds in exchange for changes in work rules so we could do more privatization of DMV, we've got to get the pensioners involved in this discussion so they understand the potential threat.
What do
to
you
their
lose when you securitize? I mean, no money is free.
What you lose, you'd have to similar. That's why I went back to your comment about the state office buildings. You would have to build into the operating budget rents for those buildings that you're leasing back. But there's also inventory of properties the state is just sitting on right now that isn't necessarily needed. So the idea of taking a look and this is going to take time. Don't misunderstand me. You just don't walk in there on January 3rd and all of a sudden on January 5th you do this. But over the next, I think part of the most important document we're going to submit is the budget, the first budget we submit in February. And that budget, which we know is going to have to address somewhere in the vicinity of a $2 billion operating deficit, what kind of policy changes are we going to put in there to begin to demonstrate to the residents and employers that we're beginning to turn the state around? The Current had Hartford Current had an editorial right the day or two after the session ended about the fact of champagne corks go off because they passed a budget. But there really are no strategic changes that are going on, and that's the thing that we're trying to emphasize.
But what do you lose in securitization?
You'd have to pay rent.
I'm not talking about the buildings. Oh. Let's say the lottery funds. If you're saying...
So one thing I'd want to emphasize here, I would need to understand the implications of the loss of that revenue into the general fund. Yes, we would clearly have to understand that.
That's the implication of dedicating the stream.
Correct.
What about the act of securitizing it? What happens when you securitize
it? There's two separate things. So I'm not talking about securitizing the lottery. I'm talking about securitizing state-owned assets, principally real estate.
Mm-hmm. And we had talked about that last time. Kyle Liddy writes in, Luis Angel Vega III, and Matthew Barry. I'll give thumbs up to you to what they're hearing today with Oz Griebel on Dateline New Haven and WNHH on the day of the big convention.
Absolutely.
So let's get on the ground, Oz. You've been building a campaign for months.
Yep.
You're trying to do it out of whole cloth, no party structure.
Right.
How many volunteers do you have? How much money have you raised?
Well, on the volunteers, we probably have north of 200 all in that have been helping us in one form or another. I'm delighted you said the way you phrased that. This is an entrepreneurial effort. We started this. I've often used the phrase that starting in August, two or three of us were getting together every Saturday morning in a garage to design a product, a marketing plan, and figuring out who we're going to hire.
That was Steve Jobs' old garage, right?
Exactly. We went in there and did that. And so over time, we've been adding people to the team. Kyle Liddy's now our campaign manager. Chris Cooper's come on as our press secretary. We've hired Kate Carib as our finance director. So we're building that structure out. This part and parcel that's needed for a campaign. You mentioned earlier, our focus continues to be on securing the 7,500 signatures that we need to get on the ballot.
That's a lot fewer than they need to get on primary.
Yeah, I hope nobody. Thank goodness that they're out of session, so they can't go back and change that rule.
If 75 is the rule, you really need more like 12,000.
Yeah, So the rule is about you want 75. You're going to get 75% of whatever you collect are going to be valid. So 10,000-11,000, and we're probably north of 9,000 now that
you've collected more than 9,000.
Right. In that, we know we have the Secretary of State's told us we have 2,000 that are they're valid, so we know they're sitting in there. We're in the process of turning those signatures into town clerks. This is a 19th century process.
I remember that from when I once did this in college. I volunteered for one of these, and you drive around to 168. You can't. I thought that until the final week, you can give all your petitions to the Secretary of State, and then they send it to the local town.
Right, but that's not the fastest way to do it, though.
So have people driving to 169 towns.
Yeah, that's what those volunteers, but most importantly, they're collecting the signatures. That's the most important thing. And then, I've visited a lot of town clerks already, Paul.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it is. It's fun.
And what's the deadline?
Well, we have till August. We're trying to get it done ASAP. I mean,
it would have been nice to have had done by tonight.
It would have. That was a goal, believe me.
On the other hand, it gives you a second event to have.
Second event. You want to join the campaign?
It really is democracy. It's democracy's fun.
Absolutely.
If you have an idea, if you believe, and if people come out for right. something positive and get involved Absolutely. In a campaign like this. But you got a lot of getting heard is going to be hard, Oz. Once you're on a ballot, do you think you'll get into the debates? Will you be quoted as much in stories, or will you be generating your own media, which is different from the past?
Well, we'll
you
do,
really
well,
are your own media outlet as a candidate.
Sure, and I'll say, Paul, I can't tell you how much we appreciate opportunities to come on shows like this. This is the lifeblood of an entrepreneurial effort like this. We're not going to go out and buy ads on television and radio. That's not, we're not going to have the wherewithal to do that. But I also believe this is a different world than even when I ran in 2010 sure in terms is. Of the impact yeah. of social media. And that yeah,
micro-targeting ad. In fact, exactly. Obama learned in 2012.
Absolutely.
He found the one show that had reruns after the second
right.
factory shift in the one swing state he needed.
Yep.
That where he needed to put his ads for like one-tenth the cost of yep. what the Romney campaign was paying to reach fewer people.
So that's where, you know, we're doing that. And the idea that, you know, with someone like Chris on, making sure that we're getting ourselves out to the media. I've been up to, I've been trying to make, for example, regular visits up to the Capitol press room just so the people who are covering this know are comfortable with me. I've known most of those folks for a long time. So the idea of getting that out, do I think we're going to be in the debates? I have no reason to believe we won't be. I really believe that this campaign, along some of the lines we've talked about this morning, is the one campaign putting specific ideas mm-hmm. and out there.
What
which
other
we
big
could be
ideas have we
on?
Missed? Very specific. We talked about securitization. We talked about lottery revenue streams. We talked about the sale of the state office buildings. Privatizing the DMV. What would be a couple of signature specific positions?
Well, I think on the transportation side, I think we talked the last time. One of the things I'll do right away is reestablish the Transportation Strategy Board that was established in 2001. It epitomizes the idea of bringing the private sector together with elected and appointed officials to get at prioritizing what the strategies should be and then advocating for the funding. So we're going to certainly support the constitutional amendment that's on the ballot in November 6th that has so-called lockbox for funding. I believe we're going to have to put increases in the gasoline tax in place by next July.
How much
July.
Would you do it?
I'd probably look at something not dissimilar to what Governor Malloy's proposed, you know, phasing in 2 cents a year for 3 years, because I think we have more serious issues out there, even with local roads and bridges, never mind the...
John Anderson, when he ran his independent campaign as a moderate Republican in 1980... His signature issue was the 50 cents gas tax increase. Do you
right.
remember that? So now you're going against the thinking of some candidates in both parties who say that it's a mistake to raise the gasoline tax because people are going to be driving less, so mm-hmm. that revenue is less reliable, and you want them to buy gas in Connecticut. So Jonathan Harris, which I forgot to say, we want them to buy the tacos
yeah.
or the burrito at the highway rest.
I'm not sure that that's the key to economic success. I think a vibrant, dependable transportation system is critically important to economic growth. Let me do this. We'll have an aspirational goal to grow 200,000 jobs in the state over the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. If that's our aspirational goal, we have to have a transportation system that supports it.
Right.
Two things I would put in. Clearly, we have to go back to, we've got to get electronic tolls moving down the proverbial road. So getting the federal government in line. But here's an idea.
You're for the tolls?
We have to be. I mean, your point about the gasoline tax is given the hybrids and
the money we're leaving off the table in other states.
Correct. And the other thing I just want to say, so, you know, it's going to take a couple of years to get that done if everybody got the green light. But here's something I think we could do as a pilot. There are two HOV lanes, high occupancy vehicle lanes, and I-84 going in and out of Hartford. Could you toll those now as a pilot to see how the system would work? Look at how you might have congestion mitigation pricing. Could we look at the busway that attracts so much, has been so controversial up in Hartford, and see whether that could be open to private carriers? I think there's some things we've got to continue to look at that isn't just money. It's how do we take the existing assets we have and make them more attractive and more effective for the broad population?
Oz, you were very involved, weren't you, on the financial stability panel that gave proposals to the legislature this term about how to get our long-term finances in place.
Correct. I wasn't heavily involved. No, that was led by Bob Petrucelli and Jim Smith.
I guess you just testified.
Oh, yeah, I did. Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, absolutely.
How did you feel that none of it got adopted?
Well, I think, first of all, when we talked to Jim and Bob and others on that panel back in the fall, I mean, the reality is the legislature doesn't have to do anything. When they said they were going to have to take action, all they had to do was refer it to committee. That's action under the legislature. But tax policy is very difficult. I mean, some of the ideas that were put in there were ideas that have been looked at for a long time. To me, they have to be part of a comprehensive budget package, which they will be in when we submit ours next February. You also had to look at the reality that you had people running for re-election. That's just the nature of the beast. I think the big, what I said to Bob and Jim and others back in the fall, I think is still true. They have made an extraordinary contribution to the debates, because those are questions now. How do you feel about repealing the gift and estate tax? How do you feel about giving COGS taxing authority? How do you feel about some of the issues on reducing the personal income tax? I've got opinions on those things, and I think it'll go a long way to helping shaping the debates as we go forward after Labor Day.
Both parties do have business people who have not served in government, and they
Correct.
Say that's a plus. You have David Stimmerman, you have Bob Stefanowski on the Republican side,
right.
Hedge funders, you got Ned Lamont on the Democratic side. What makes you different from them?
I've spent all of my professional career, Paul, building teams, and I think that is the single most important thing that needs to be done. It is about process. I know people say, well, you have to have ideas. Of course you have to have ideas. But if you don't have a process to implement those ideas, if you're not willing to work with a legislature, if you're not willing to bring people in from the outside, if you're not willing to be challenged by other people, you're not going to move down the road. And that's what I did in education. It's what I did at Bank of Boston. It's what I did at McDermott. And it's what I've done for the last 17 years at the Metro Hartford Alliance, is bringing people together to get the best and the brightest in the room to agree on the issues, and more importantly, to identify the solutions and implement them for the long term.
And the team you're building right now, Oz Griebel, is to run for governor.
Correct.
And tonight, Tuesday night, you will be hosting a convention for
right.
this independent first party. Not Democratic,
yes, I
Republican
love it. That's
Party.
Good. I like the first party.
But
it's
not,
good.
But not a party.
Not a party.
Convention.
Well, we're having a party tonight, but
we're
not having
tonight,
a political party. Correct.
Infinity Hall in Hartford, 5:30 to 8:30.
Right.
Oz Griebel and Monty Frank will be holding a convention for their campaign
right.
for governor, lieutenant governor. Will it be live streamed on the web?
It will be. It will
where,
be.
Where
and also
find that?
It will, on I don't. I'll have to get back to you. I'm not sure how we've
just
got
look
that
up
set
Oz Griebel on Facebook.
It's, it'll be on there. You'll be able to find it, and we'll also be posting everything on our website post the convention itself.
Oz Griebel, it is such a pleasure to talk to you.
It's always a pleasure,
campaign.
Paul. And you with music like this, I've got to keep coming back.
Yeah. Well, you got great energy. A lot of ideas on the trail. You're livening this campaign for governor this year and giving people a choice.
Right.
So, Oz Griebel, thanks for joining us on Dateline New Haven and WNHH. Thanks to Yale New Haven Hospital for providing support for today's program. We're going to take it out with that music you're hearing, the Afro-Semitic Experience performing I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free from the group CD, A Plea for Peace. Now, we know what it's like to be free. We just got to remember to book our flight. Book your flight with us all day and all night long here on WNHH, New Haven's home for community radio.